And welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colton, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can stream us live at www.guardiantalkradio.com. Just go to that web link, click on the live stream button, and you will hear us coming out of your computer. If you have a smartphone, you can download the TuneIn app from the App Store or Play Store, and you can find Guardian Radio on that, and then you can have us in your smartphone all day long. So tonight in the studio, I have a colleague and I believe a friend. We've developed a friendship over our many years knowing each
other.
LeVar Monroe. LeVar is a Bahamian artist who is known pretty well internationally. I hope he's known at home, but, you know, I'm always surprised that people don't even know where the National Art Gallery is. Yeah. And you know, I've known his gallery for a while and known him, and we've, you know, done various things together. I tried to support his move forward. And really now, you know, I think he's part of a very big, important group exhibition called Prospect New Orleans, which is opening in November of this year. He was already a participant in something called the Venice Biennial, which is another, like, very... I always say to people that don't know the art world very well that the Venice Biennial is like the Olympics of the art world. Mm-hmm. And LeVar participated in that. And you've had and you're continuing to have a really amazing career. So I just wanted to have you in here to let you know, people know about you, and also just find out about how did a boy from Grantstown get there. And so I'd like to learn about your journey. So tell us, first of all, LeVar, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm originally from Grantstown. Born and raised there, obviously. And still occupy a studio there.
Mm-hmm. Which is exciting for us.
Which is exciting, yeah. I started out art with our early introduction to Junkanoo, but also to music. Most of my uncles kind of dabbled into like music and art and that mm-hmm. type of stuff. Specifically my mother's side of the family. But yeah, Junkanoo was my early entry into art. There I learned a lot about design and form and color and line and things like that. So yeah, that was my early...
And three-dimensionality,
yeah,
right?
And three-dimensionality, yeah. which is something I'm just now exploring mm-hmm. or kind mm-hmm. of really tapping into. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I mean, it was just traditional, like a lot of two-dimensional stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of drawing and painting predominantly. But now, yeah, I'm really excited to be dabbling.
So did someone ever say to you when you were a kid, like, wow, you're really good at this, like you should... Or did people in your community mostly think about it in terms of Junkanoo? Did anyone, like any of your parents, your uncles and aunts, be like, this is amazing, like you should push that?
Yeah, yeah. I always had great encouragement. I came from a family of educators. Sadie Curtis is my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And entrepreneurs. My other grandma, she has like a petty shop, but in many ways it's entrepreneurial, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She's doing her own thing. And so did my dad. My dad did parasailing. Mm-hmm. For a living, and that was able to actually give me a start. I mean, I graduated from Kingsway, and then later on he was able to fund my education at Savannah College of Art and Design, mm-hmm. which was I guess the foundation of my real mm-hmm. learning when mm-hmm. it comes to yeah. art and also the understanding that art can be a profession.
Yeah, yeah, you know? So that wasn't something you felt that did you go to COB ever?
Briefly. Very, very briefly. Yeah.
And then from you went right there to SCAD. So at Kingsway and at COB, there wasn't really much of a feeling then. I mean, now I suppose this is what, like 15 years ago now?
A long time.
More or less long ago. So I don't want to date you, but again, it's not yesterday. Because I think maybe I'd like to think that today they're a bit more understanding, especially at UB, that art is something that can certainly be a career. Was the first time you felt that was when you got to SCAD?
Not really, no. Yeah. I mean, I've been under the tutelage of people like Antonius mm-hmm. and yeah. John Cox and yeah, Max yeah. Taylor yeah. and those guys, yeah. And even John Beadle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they. I mean, just watching them as kids, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, I didn't know how lucrative it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just know that they did it for a living, mm-hmm. you know. And I know that I can go to any one of those guys and really have conversations about possibilities of art and career and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, we had and still have a very small but nice community of senior and, I guess, upcoming. I don't know much of the upcoming artists. But definitely the senior artists.
No, definitely. All the people you mentioned, I've always been amazed how generous they are.
Yeah, very generous.
With their time and their knowledge and their encouragement of you know, the younger generation.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you got into SCAD. Was that hard? Did you feel... So SCAD, for the listeners, is a Savannah College of Art and Design, as LeVar mentioned, and that's... over in the U.S., was that a difficult adjustment for you?
No, it was quite easy, actually. Yeah, I mean, not easy, like, easy. I mean, but I was always disciplined, you know. I mean, always, I mean, I enjoyed myself, obviously, but I mean, it was always work.
And I think that's something people don't realize is how disciplined you have to be as an artist. I think people tend to think artists kind of loaf about and, you know, think great thoughts till 2 a.m. and then go out on a bender, but in fact really good artists. I think one of the reasons you have got where you are is discipline. Absolutely. And you know, it's funny, I was with Mr. Antonius Roberts just recently, and he said the same thing. He said, I've always been very disciplined. Get up in the morning, you know, do my thing.
It's not like a ritual, you know. But now, I mean, we live in an age, I mean, especially internationally, as you know, art is not just painting and drawing. I mean, there's a research element that it's very important. It's like the era of smart art. You know, there should be a contextualization of what you're doing. It's not just art for art's sake anymore. So thinking of it in multiple facets, I mean, I think about the making of the art, but also like just last night, I was up until 3 o'clock writing about art, you know. So, yeah, and then also researching, reading, looking, traveling, like all of those are very important to what I do. Another like prominent artist I can think about pretty much have the same rigor, you know?
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think that's also probably another misconception, is that if you take too much in, you're going to lose your originality. You know, I feel like some people feel like, oh, it's better to be an artist in the studio and you're not looking at other work and you're not. But no, exactly. I disagree entirely. I think you need to look at a lot and digest it, and then if you can still come up with something fresh and original and that makes people go, oh wow, I hadn't thought about that before, having ingested all this other stuff, I think that's what makes you a really great artist.
Yeah, because nothing is new, for one, but I think it's good to ingest both what you like and what you dislike. You know, it's very important to look constantly, you know. I mean, sometime I'll go to like an undergraduate exhibition and find like a gem, or sometime I'll be in the classroom teaching. I mean, every now and again I kind of dabble into like professorship and that type of stuff, but anyway, but even in those regards I always am picking, you know. I'm not stealing, but I borrow a lot.
No, but just also recognizing, I think, being like, so how did SCAD open up, how did it switch your viewpoint? So you come from here and you've been, you know, again, mostly dealing with Bahamian artists and your own environment. And then what was it like to go to SCAD?
So SCAD was a peculiar experience because when I went there, I went there thinking I knew everything there was to know about painting and drawing. The little I got from here. Very silly of me.
Yeah.
And I went into illustration. But there I really learned how to hone into my draftsmanship skills. So drawing became very important. Understanding text and images became extremely, extremely important. So after I graduated from SCAD, I actually worked as a freelance illustrator. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years. And actually, when I was at my peak, like, people were constantly emailing me for jobs and stuff. That's when I decided I didn't want to do it. And I decided to hone in into fine art. The strategy I took advantage of was I would make work, both illustration and personal work, there, and I would come here, and this would be my clientele.
Oh, okay.
In the very beginning, you know, so I'd have exhibits at Central Bank or at Antonius's old space, or like places like that. And make not much money at that time. I mean, to me it was much money, but I mean, now it isn't.
Compared to,
But I would do that.
Still, it was a foundation.
Yeah, so I started off that way and then gradually expanded into like Caribbean and then to the U.S. I mean, now this is my clientele now.
Sure.
Obviously not. But,
right.
But yeah, that's how I operated. So from illustration, gradually into fine art, and then I went to grad school. After grad school, that's when...
Where did you go to grad school?
I went to Washington University in St. Louis. Very, very awesome school. One of the best schools in the United States, bar none. But But yeah, I went there and it was very, that was hard. So mm-hmm. it's very rigorous, extremely mm-hmm. rigorous. They could care less of what I make or how well mm-hmm. I made it. Mm-hmm. So it was about how I spoke about my work, how I wrote about my work, where's the research coming from. So I ended up very sharp. Mm-hmm. You know,
but I think that's
sharp.
Important too, and I think that's what again a lot of artists don't realize is that you need to articulate yourself well.
Yeah, it's important,
and especially in grant writing, especially mm-hmm. if you want to go to a residency.
Yeah,
that you really need to be able to get across your idea, like not just what you're doing now, but the thoughts you have and like what you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of art schools don't teach that; they really just teach the method, you know, the art making part.
Yeah.
And not how to deal with the crit, you know, the crit, we call it, right?
Critical, yeah.
How to stand up and speak about it and speak to the ideas behind the art, and that's so important.
Yeah, it's extremely important, especially in this day and time. I mean,
yeah,
the art for art's sake thing has been long, 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 long gone.
And how did you find through your work? Because, you know, when I think of your work, I think of it as being, you know, quite political. Mm-hmm. Not political, that politics per se, but about, you know, identity and roles and the way we're perceived and things like that. Was that something that was always within your art early on? I mean, I know we have quite an early piece from you at the NAGB, which is about the migrant, you know, carrying the...
Yeah.
And already that's quite a political piece, you know?
Yeah, it's very
about
early.
Migrancy. It's very early.
Uh-huh.
But you can see... But again, I like having early work because I like to be able to see the arc, you know,
of an
artist. And of course, that is very graphic. It's very much a graphic designer's work in a way, mm-hmm. or someone who's come out of graphic design. But it's still really interesting because it's very layered.
Yeah.
So was your work, or do you feel like it was always kind of political? And like, where did that come from?
That's hard to say. I don't know if it's always political, but I know it was always about something that I observed.
Mm-hmm.
Either within my community or on television mm-hmm. or something like that. But it was, it's always about something. It was never just art for art's sake again.
Mm-hmm.
But it always, I always observed something outside
mm-hmm.
and responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the migrant series, again, I don't remember. I mean, obviously, it had to do with probably myself
mm-hmm.
as a migrant in the United States,
mm-hmm.
but also you think about home.
Yeah, of course.
You know, how migrants are treated within our own country, you know? So, I guess it was always somewhat political.
You know what? It's funny, just when you said that, I mean, obviously, I hadn't thought of you as a migrant, but of course, we all are, right, as Bahamians when we live anywhere else.
We are migrants, right?
Definitely. And how we adapt to that. And actually, now I'm thinking about that piece because it's like a little man with his house on his back. It's like a house with legs almost.
And I'm
thinking about, like, so how do you carry home with you?
And always the notion of home. I mean, where mm-hmm. is home? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been living in the U.S. for 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that home?
No.
Definitely not.
Okay, well, I'm in the studio with LeVar Monroe, a Bahamian artist who's living between, in a way, between the Bahamas and the U.S. I mean, your studio's here right now. We hope it's going to stay right here.
We'll see.
We'll see. But you, as you just said, been living in the U.S. for 14 years mm-hmm. and is having a really very successful career and will continue, I'm sure, to have an even more successful career and has been in a couple of really... monumental exhibitions that, you know, in the international scene are really considered huge markers on the course of a career.
Yeah, definitely.
And you know, for those of you listening at home, just to say, like, when I travel and I mention LeVar Monroe, people say, oh yeah, the Bahamas, LeVar. Like, he is a known quantity, and I'm extremely proud of him.
Thank you.
As a Bahamian. And the work's amazing. And he's here talking with us tonight. We're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to hear more about, you know, his journey as an artist and coming back home to make work and more about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show that speaks about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this break.